Good morning, everybody. It's good to be here. And just as we've been sort of worshipping this morning, I've been reminded about the grace of God, how we often feel unworthy. We often feel that we are beyond God sometimes. We look at our lives and it just doesn't seem to add up with God's values and God's requirements. Well, His grace, it says, is sufficient. No matter where we are in life, what we've done, what we think we've done, God's grace is sufficient. And that means we can be here this morning, be in His presence, and His grace, His love, is poured into our hearts and into our lives. And I just want to talk a little bit this morning about leadership. I want to just conclude our look at Titus and talk a little bit about the leadership here and what that means for us. And I want to say right at the start, that I am an ordinary man. If you spent any time with me, you'll know that. There's nothing special about me. But God has just chosen me to do what I do. And we'll look a little bit more about that in a moment or two.
Can I just say something?
You can say, is it positive?
Yeah.
It's not going to be nasty.
He is special. Do you know what he did today? Because he saw... We brought Tristan, who has autism, and he's got cars. He's brought this garage in for him. Show me a pastor that will do that. Here's
yeah,
one.
There's one. Yeah, that makes me special. Yeah. So, all the racket you can hear is my fault because I brought that in. I won't be doing that again. But we talk a little bit about the values of this place because it's important that if you come here, you understand what our values are. And leadership actually dictates the values. We kind of work out our salvation together. We work out the kingdom of heaven in this place. And we set a set of values that we believe reflects who God is. And that's part of the role of leadership. But if we go back to Titus and we're looking at the Church of Crete... there's several churches in Crete and they were all experiencing some trouble where the values and the behaviours of the community had infiltrated the church. Paul recognised this and he set leaders in place to kind of bring some sense of God's kingdom into the church to show that the values of God's kingdom are different than the values of the community in which we live and how by living our faith out so that people can see it, we live daily in our faith, it actually begins to influence our community. And very often church is influenced externally to internally. And the behaviours and attitudes of the community, of the world, can creep into church life and into our daily living because we are influenced so heavily by the outside world. And there's that conflict all the time of values and behaviours and attitudes and thought processes that are going on all the time with every decision we make. And part of what Paul was saying to Titus is we need to put God in that. We need to allow God to be part of that so he begins to change us. So that is an ongoing process throughout our Christian life. That we are a new creation. The moment we come to faith, we are a new creation, which is called being born again. We are new, and it's almost like starting life again. But we start life again with all this preconditioned knowledge and attitudes within us, and God is constantly changing us because he wants us to reflect who he is, so he wants us to become more like him. And so Paul said to Titus, what you need to do is put elders, leaders, pastors in all the churches so they can help people in this journey of transformation. And it's interesting that when we begin to look at the qualification of an elder, of a leader, really of any leader in any church, it's based on character. It's not based on skill set or abilities or knowledge. So when you become a leader in the kingdom of heaven, it's because you understand the kingdom of heaven, that you can demonstrate it, that it becomes part of who you are, and you become a leader because of your lifestyle, because of the way that you are, because of who you are. And that's really important to understand because very often people come into church with a lot of skills. And sometimes those skills are transferable, and sometimes they are not. But God is interested in what's going on inside. He's looking at our character. He's looking at our heart. He's looking at our commitment to Him, because that is what really counts in terms of kingdom culture. The position of a leader is one of service and not one of being served. We don't take advantage of our position. We just think that's the right thing to be because it reflects the kingdom of heaven. Jesus said, I've come to serve you. And so anybody in a position of leadership in this church is a server, a servant. They're here to serve the body. They're here to serve the call of God on their lives. And so even though these books were written so many thousands of years ago, the kingdom of heaven has never changed. It says, doesn't it, in the word that God is the same yesterday, today, and forever. He doesn't change. His values don't change. His love, his grace, his forgiveness doesn't change. And it can fit every culture in which it's introduced. And that will be different because we've just got to face the fact that in this country we are different than they are in Europe and in Africa and Australia and America. We are different because that's our culture. We are brought up differently. But the kingdom of God is I don't know if sneaky is the right word, but it's just so well planned that it doesn't matter what culture you put God into, He brings transformation. He brings His love and His grace into that culture, and He can transform it. We always want to make everybody like us everywhere we go. Wherever you go on holiday, we don't do it like that back home. We don't eat that kind of food. What's wrong with that? That's not proper food. And so very often, if we're not careful, we try and impose our culture on other people. It just seems to be the way that we do. But God wants to change us, not by imposing His culture, but by working in our lives and transforming us. And part of a leadership role is to understand that and to work with that and to develop that in the local church. I think one of the things that we've recognised as leaders of this church, and indeed leaders of many churches, is that life is becoming more complicated. Life is becoming more difficult. Even though when I was at school in the 1970s and we discovered oil, we were told that we would work for 2 days a week and have 7 days off because there was so much money coming into the country. But in fact, it's gone the other way. We seem to be doing more, working more, having more rules and regulations, and life just seems to be becoming more and more difficult. If we look at the culture of the world, it's becoming more and more a world of anything goes. I can do anything, I can say anything. We know where that gets us. We see it all on the news all the time. People misusing the freedom of speech. And we make up our own religion. And that's becoming a thing as well. Because the way the world is to pick all kinds of spirituality up from all over the place, add it all together, and make up something that we think we believe in. That's something we've got to really guard against as the people of God, because the word is our guide. Understanding the word of God is our directive, and living it is our vision. We've always got to go back to the word, and as leaders we do. We always go back to the word, and we look at how that works out in our daily living, how it works out in our church life, so that it actually reflects who God is. Not just it's reflecting my personal understanding or my personal preferences about what God is and who God is. And Titus was tasked with the behavior of the leaders and demonstrating the culture of the kingdom of God, not the culture of the world, and to lead people from one place to another. We are being changed and transformed at all times. at Carmel Community Church, which is who we are now, if you didn't know that. We are no longer Carmel Christian Centre, we're Carmel Community Church. The heart of the leadership here is to serve you, to reach out into our community and demonstrate who God is. And I'll go through that, some of those details later on. The first call on all of us is our love for God. And if a leader doesn't love God, then they're going to struggle to lead. And one of the scriptures that we always go back to, because I think it's a fundamental starting point in our faith journey, it's fundamental to the way that we live, it's fundamental in our understanding of who God is and how he works in our heart and in our lives, is Matthew 22, verse 36 to 38. Teacher, which is the greatest commandment in the law? Jesus replied, love the Lord your God. How? With all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. In fact, with everything. That's our starting point. This is the first and greatest commandment. You see, if we love God, if we are committed to God, if we allow God to live in our heart and we love him with everything that we have, then serving God is a joy and not an unwilling task. So often in our Christian life, when we fall back to our own values, when we begin to fall back to the values of the world, going to church can sometimes be a bit of a, do I really have to? People sometimes ask me, do I have to go to church to be a Christian? No, not really. But if you love God, you love his people, and you want to be with them. And it's not an onerous task to go to church. It's a joy to come and to share time with one another, to experience the blessing of God, to experience that unity of the Spirit when we come together and we worship and we experience God working and moving in our lives. Here, we willingly serve as those who love God with everything. And we try and always to demonstrate the kingdom and the culture of who God is. Our objective here is always to demonstrate God in everything that we do, every decision we make. And Sue just talked a little bit about a leaflet, this one. I would recommend that if you haven't had it, you haven't picked it up, that you do. Because not only does it have photographs of all of us who are leaders, but it also talks about who we are as church, our values, what we're trying to do here. And it's really, really important. We try to define what it is to be a Christian, to define what it is to be a member of this church. And I would seriously recommend that you read that. We teach on it all the time. So one of the greatest things that we always talk about is having an encounter with God. That's one of our values. We want to go through life encountering God, not just doing it on our own strength. We're all involved in it. It's not just down to us as leaders, but we're all involved in it. We're all becoming disciples. We're creating community. We carry the message of God wherever we go. And we have an encounter with God. And one of our strap lines is that we're a come-as-you-are church. You can come here no matter what. And that's the grace of God. And we strongly believe in the grace of God, that doesn't matter what you've done out there, you can come in here and God can actually meet with you and begin to work in your life. The gospel of Jesus Christ is something that is of great value. We often call it the greatest gift, and we've celebrated that this morning, the gift of his son, Jesus Christ, who came, he died, he rose again, and he gave us this awesome opportunity to be reborn. So the things that we've done, all the past, can be forgiven, we can be recreated, we can be free from those things. We can be free from the power of sin, those behaviors that drive us, very often we are not in control of. But God says, I can set you free from that because I've overcome the power of sin in your life. Those drivers that make us do things sometimes, we don't know why we're doing them. And Paul says in Romans, he says, there's some things I do and I don't really want to do them. And then there's some things that I want to do with all my heart, but I can't. What's going wrong? There's something in me that's driving me. And he celebrates the fact that that's why Jesus came, to help us overcome that power that's driving us, to give us a new heart, a new life, to set us free from that, to forgive us for all the past. The greatest gift on earth, without a doubt. And this is the message that the leaders here are endeavouring to be clear about, and how this fits into culture, and how we demonstrate that in the way that we live. It's power to overcome, and together do good things. The mission of the church, we read in Ephesians, is to demonstrate the manifold wisdom of God. Now, the wisdom of God is a mystery. It talks about the mystery of who God is. Because as we try and understand it with our understanding, it can get a little bit complicated. Because what we're trying to do is apply the values, the thinking processes of the world to God. And he says, I'm not like that. I'm not like that. I'm different. I think differently. I behave differently. I have different expectations. And you don't understand it. It's a mystery. But I'm going to send the Holy Spirit and he'll reveal truth to your heart. And so if you're struggling with who God is this morning, just ask the Holy Spirit to reveal truth to your heart. Keep on asking, it says, and the door will be opened. Keep on knocking. And sometimes we have to do that. We have to be determined to find truth. But the Holy Spirit opens truth to our heart. And when that happens, it's like a light being switched on. And suddenly we begin to understand and live in the presence of God. So the leaders of any church, and this one, have a call on their lives. It's not a position we take lightly. And if you ask any leader that's ever led in this church, when they were asked, what did they feel? And it's an overwhelming sense of responsibility. An overwhelming sense of, I can't just do this on my own. I need God to help me. We begin to understand that the call on our lives is to live it and teach it. And we can get a double blessing, but we also get a double responsibility, because we are not only looking after ourselves, but we're looking after others as well. And we have to take responsibility for that. So leaders lead. And you are being led. I don't know whether you knew that, but we are leading you. Very gently, I hope. In such a way that you almost don't know it. But I want to tell you that we take our role seriously here. And we do lead. We have a vision for what God is calling the church to be. Of what God is calling the church to do. How to demonstrate our faith internally in the church and externally. There's also a lot of legislative pressure upon us as well. In the current world, as I said before, there is more and more legislation that makes practical church leadership more and more complicated to remain compliant and adds a weight of accountability and responsibility to an already difficult role. We have the Charity Commission that we have to live under. We have all the rules of health and safety and all that kind of stuff that we all do, but you don't know that, do you? Because it's just been done. There's lots and lots of legislation that we have to comply with. And as leaders, we take responsibility for that. We have to take responsibility for finance, for the building, all that kind of stuff. And it's not an easy or light role. It's a heavy role. And I commend our leaders to you because they take that seriously. Those of you that have journeyed with me for many years, I've been coming to this church now for 40, well, I think I'm in my 44th year. And you've journeyed with me and you know me. But I arrived at that decision of becoming the leader almost out of frustration, because when I read in the Word the power of God in people's lives, the transformation it brings, the culture that can transform the world, I was so frustrated that that wasn't happening. I've seen the world change as you have over the last 44 years or 50 years or 60 years. The world is not the same as it was. I've seen the church challenged by the changing world. Life is no longer as simple as it used to be, and there are challenges that are coming to the church all the time. And as leaders, we have to respond to that. I've seen the power of the gospel in my life and your lives, which is just amazing. And I celebrate that more than anything else, when God really begins to work in somebody's life. At times I've been frustrated by the poor way in which the church, not necessarily this church, but in which way the church has failed to demonstrate who God is to this world that really needs to see an alternative culture, an alternative way of living, an alternative hope, an alternative reality, an alternative future. The world needs to see that, but the church very often has failed in its mission. And that frustrated me as well. The message of the gospel is the greatest gift in life. And it's our responsibility to display the manifold wisdom of God. I believe the leadership here is always leading us to a place of personal application. That's really important. And the methodology of reaching our church. Paul talks, doesn't he, about work your own salvation out. Work out your own salvation in fear and trembling. In other words, this gift that he's given us, this amazing gift, is something that we've got to look after and nurture. It's your responsibility to look after your salvation, to work it out with God. But he puts leaders in place to help you do that, to give you an understanding of what the word is saying, to give you examples of how it works when you hit those moments of just pressure in life, to be able to walk you through it, to be able to give you the faith, or understanding the faith that you have and how we work our faith out and cause it to grow and get us through those times that seem impossible. It's an amazing journey. The reason why we do what we do, and it's always good to know why you do what you do, and I'm reminding you this morning that we do all that we do because we are called to do good things. We are called to be good people. And part of the role of a leader is to help you understand that, to give you opportunity to be good and to do good. And we made a decision a number of years ago that we wanted to connect with our community in a different way, in a wider way. And I want to tell you that that is just, it's an amazing experience if you don't know what's going on in this church. We have 13 different user groups that come into this building every week. It's booked out almost from morning till night with groups that are coming in and they're experiencing something of the good things that we do and the good people that we are. People love using this building. It's because we are here. We are good people. We are demonstrating the goodness of God. It's used every day. It's just amazing. You want to come down sometime, just pop your head in and just see what's going on. We've got a cafe that's operating next door, which is amazing. We're on our CAP debt centre, which has been going now for since 2007. So however long that is that 16 years? That's how long we've been doing it for those that have been here. And we have demonstrated through our ministry at the moment through Lisa how when we do good things in people's lives, it brings transformation. And that's an amazing thing. We're involved with Silver Cord, befriending people who are isolated and lonely. It's a great ministry. It's kind of a quiet ministry, but for those people who are being touched, it's an amazing connection with somebody who just wants to talk to them. There's some training if you want to get involved, wherever they are. We're running Freedom Homes. And we've been talking about this for a number of years now, sort of pre-COVID. But we're in a position now where we have a house. We're just waiting for some legalities to be worked through. And then we'll begin our next stage of our helping people to recover from addiction through faith. And that will be an 18-month course that people go through. And we're ready to launch that. As we work out our salvation together, as a church, we fit together. It talks, doesn't it, in the Bible about it. We're like a body that fits together. Every part has its own function. And every part is satisfied with the function that it has. It just gets on with it and does it. And we're described as that body that comes together. And each of you has something to bring, something to offer that helps the body function in a greater way. Doesn't matter who you are, how able or unable you feel, you are joined to the body and you have a function. We all seek to operate in our gifting and we all seek to grow in God. And we operate this in unity. Unity is really important in the kingdom of God. It's really important in church. Because if you haven't got unity, you've got dissension. So many churches are in dissension, falling out with one another. But I just thank God for the unity that we have here. It really does make leadership quite a lot easier because it means we can focus on the things that we're called to deal with. In Titus, they had to deal with some stuff that had crept into the church. It doesn't tell us what the result of it was, but it tells us that it was necessary for certain things to happen for that church to function as it should have done. In reality, we are all leaders. We all have a call on our lives, and that call is to love our neighbour, to love one another, to allow God to give us something that can encourage somebody who's just a step behind us. So we're all leaders in this place. There's always something you can do to support somebody, to lead somebody into something that is godly. Together, we are demonstrating who God is. That's the gospel of Jesus Christ, this great news that we have experienced. Last year, we looked at a process around church, the health of the church. I don't know whether you remember us talking about that. I've got some reports to give out so that you can find out what was identified and what's being done. And part of leadership is to always be looking at church. What's working, what's not working? What do we need to do to elevate God in this place? And we take that role very, very seriously. And so we did something about it. And I just want to say that it's quite interesting reading. Well, this is an ongoing process, and it's always going on in life, isn't it? We're looking at things and looking at how to do it differently, how to do it more effectively, how to be better at what we do. And we want to be the best that we can. That's where our leadership is aiming to go. If you remember through the COVID period, our government gave us this statement, didn't they, that we're in this together. Remember that. And I want to say at Carmel Community Church, we're in this together. We have a leadership that loves God and loves his church. We have a church that understands the cause of the gospel, and together, joined together as that body, we are working out God's calling on us and how that fits into our community. I just want to say that for all those in leadership, and it's not just me, Sue and Lisa, there are a lot of other people involved in leadership, that our heart is for God. Our heart is to do good things. Our heart is to see God working in this place. We were talking this morning about how do we fill this place with people. When we begin to see God working and we have encounters with God, people will want to be here. You know, when we gather on a Sunday morning, we all come with something. Let's not be shy about it. Let's celebrate all that God is doing. But our heart is always to have an encounter with God. Because when people see God, they see good. And they see something different. Something that brings hope to lives. And so together, leadership, and you're all leaders, we're in it together. Let's continue to do the things that we do. Let's continue to allow God to change us. Our kind of vision is that we live it just everywhere we go. We live out our faith so that those in our community, those who we work with, we live with, we share our lives with, recognize that there is something different about you. What is it? And that gives us that opportunity to begin to talk about our faith. Let's demonstrate God's great gift in the way that we live. Thank you for listening to me. Thank you for our leaders. Thank you for all that we do. This church wouldn't be anything without leaders. And so I just want to say thank you. And let's keep going together. We're in it together. Let's see God do amazing things. Thank you.